Now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a lovely weekend out there, except for the rain. Well, I enjoy the rain, but I think Jerry does too, as long as he's inside. And so if you had a lovely weekend and can spare us an hour of your time tonight, please do that, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we hope you can take the time to call and participate, or at least listen. Our number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. We don't like to miss any calls, and sometimes it does get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call now, we will get you on as soon as possible. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Again, that number is 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, that's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. It's always great to hear from our listeners. If you have any problems with the show or a comment or a question to use, feel free to email us. That's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world as we know it today, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like to get a podcast of the show, Debbie Kennedy is here tonight. So superwoman that she is, she will make sure that is on very soon after our show tonight. So you can listen and listen and listen and listen. In case you missed anything the first time, which is highly unlikely, but
it gets better.
It gets better. Yeah, it gets better the more you listen to it. Yeah. And along with some of our older shows. So, that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman is delighted to learn that San Francisco can hold its own with Chicago, New Orleans, and Jersey City in big league graft and corruption.
Thank you. Lori Fisher is happy to be in tonight's starting lineup for the Minds Over Matter All-Stars on baseball's real opening day. Like the Giants, both are currently undefeated.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is open to bribes and payoffs as long as it's in the form of cookies or cake.
All right. That is us. We'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. I'm going to give you the name of about eight actresses who played nuns in movies. And you give me one each. I'll only let you, I'll limit it to one so the audience can play.
So you want the name of the movie or the name of the character?
No, the name of the movie.
Okay.
Okay, I'll read them all and then you give me one each.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Sarandon. Eric Idle.
Eric Idle.
Hmm. Meg Tilly. Shirley MacLaine, Loretta Young, Mary Tyler Moore, and there are two for these last two actresses, Deborah Carr and Rosalind Russell. So give me one each. Pick one. Pick the hardest one, Dana.
Well, Lori, you go first.
Rosalind Russell played Sister Kenny. Is that the one you have?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was a nun.
She actually wasn't a nun. She was a sister. A sister is called, a nurse is called a sister in English, like Australia and England and places like that. So it's not a nun. It's a sister.
We'll see.
Oh, so Sister Kenny.
That's wrong.
I think.
Okay.
Any nurse is called a sister.
Okay. All right.
Sister was
she
in,
was in another movie.
She
played a nun in another movie.
So do you want me to do another one, or am I done?
No, you can try again.
Okay. Susan Sarandon was in Dead Man Walking.
I think that's right. Yes. Yes, correct. Very good.
All okay. Right.
All right. Let's go with Mary Tyler Moore. Since this is the only Elvis film I ever actually watched all the way through.
Really?
Change of Habit. She played a nun with Elvis.
Yes, Change of Habit.
Great
yes.
title. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is a good title.
Yeah, you didn't have Debbie Reynolds in the singing nun. I'll just throw that in.
Well, I have.
I'm sure she's on
there.
That
was too
yeah.
easy.
All right.
Right.
Also, Whoopi Goldberg was too easy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much. In 1795, the United States government commissioned six vessels for the First Navy. This is a two-part question.
Oh, gosh.
Would you please name the six vessels?
Ooh. So is the Constitution one of them?
Yes.
That's the only one I might have known.
Okay. I'm trying to think why I would know the other.
Are the others as well known, or kind of in that realm of being well known?
Yes, they're of historic proportion.
So, would they be vessels that whose names were used again and again and again as like future warships for the United States?
Some were, but they weren't necessarily known for naval vessels,
like the Hornet or the Essex or something like that.
Right, but they might have been, say, for instance, a liner, ocean liner, or something like that.
Oh, an ocean liner. Like the America, for instance?
Yeah, that's not one of them.
All probably right. Not Queen Elizabeth, huh?
Or the United States?
United States is one of them.
Okay. So the Constitution.
So that's two out of six.
In the United States. And not the Bonhomme Richard. That's that's John.
No, that's John Paul Jones.
Right.
Yeah. Not the Titanic or the
not
Lusitania.
The Titanic, no.
Okay.
No.
So... Are any of these, I know the Constitution is, but are any of these other ones, are they still preserved today?
No, there was controversy concerning one in Baltimore, but that turned out to be false, and it was the last sailing vessel commissioned by the United States Navy and was used during the Civil War.
Oh, okay. The Kearsarge? The Kearsage?
No.
I don't think I can go any further, to tell you the truth.
Neither can I.
Yeah. Were you stumped? Do you want me to tell you?
Or? Yeah. I'm no, stumped. Please tell us.
Okay. You have the President.
President. Oh.
You have the United States. You have the Constellation. You have Congress.
Oh.
And you have Constitution.
Very nice.
Interesting.
Now let me just ask you the second part of the question. All these were named by Washington, General Washington, except for one, which was the one that he did not name.
The President.
Nope.
Oop.
The Constellation?
No.
Congress.
No.
we're done.
Constitution.
Yeah, it was Chesapeake. He didn't name Chesapeake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Love your program, and thanks very much.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah.
And Laurie Church.
All right. Well, I know Dana doesn't love baseball questions, but this combines baseball with geography kind
all
of.
All right.
And my test audience thought I shouldn't ask this, but I think it's a great question. So we're going to – if you lined up all the baseball teams – alphabetically by their last name. So you'd lined up the Giants by G and the Orioles by O. The first part of the question is which team would be first and which team would be last. I'll start there. And you only get one guess each.
Talking about their nicknames or the cities?
Not the cities. Their nicknames.
Well, the Athletics?
No. There's one before the Athletics.
The Angels.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. And who's the last one then? And then there's a part two that even gets better. See, it's such a great question. Well, you hang on there. Let me ask part two.
Right,
okay, we're still in the same order, alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Okay. Only twice are the teams, if you go down the list alphabetically, are the teams next to each other from the same state.
Oh, dear.
Okay. There's eight states that have two or more teams, and twice in that list are they from the same state. Which is the list there? Oh, this is right in your wheel.
So you mean the letters that are next to each other in the order?
Yeah. So say Illinois, this will give you one. The Cubs and the White Sox would be who you'd be comparing, but they're not alphabetically near each other. These ones are.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call.
Okay.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's a really good question.
City.
Hi.
I know what the non-movie with Ross and Russell was. That's what spawned a sequel.
I didn't hear you say it slowly.
The Rosalind Russell.
The movie with Ross and Russell, where she played a nun, was also spawned a sequel.
Okay, go ahead. What's the name of it?
The Trouble with Angels.
The Trouble with Angels,
oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And last week you were talking about Brewster. They briefly made cars in 1934, and their grill was so unique. It was shaped like an organ, like a body organ. You know what it was?
Mm-mm.
Kidding.
Grill.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
The grill was shaped of the body, or like a body, one of the organs in the body. You know what it was?
Oh, you mean which organ was? Are you asking?
Yeah, it was shaped like, yeah.
I hate to think. How about?
Well, a rib cage, I guess.
Nope.
Ooh,
no. Close.
Close.
The heart.
Right.
Yeah, Debbie's showing the heart over there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The grill was shaped like a heart, huh?
Yeah.
Like a real heart, or like the one you see for Valentine's Day?
It was a heart shape, though. It was real tall.
I was hoping for the clavicle.
Yeah. Here's what my second question. What were the two television plays that Cliff Robertson appeared in that were made into feature films?
Well, Flowers for Algernon turned into Charlie, right?
Yeah.
PT-109?
No. Nope.
Was he in Days of Wine and Roses?
He was Days of Wine and Roses, yeah.
No, that wasn't it. Well, I couldn't mention Days of Wine and Roses, but he's aired on the same series.
But that one doesn't count because he wasn't in the movie? Is that what you mean?
No, he wasn't in the movie.
So he had to do it on TV and the movies?
Yes.
I see.
In fact, he owned the rights to both Charlie and this other film.
He did it in the movie.
Give you a clue. It involves a sport.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I almost said bang the drum slowly, but that's, he wasn't in the movie.
Isn't in that.
Huh.
Baseball the sport?
No, it wasn't baseball.
Football?
Boxing? I think of what they made back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Golf. Here we go, involves a horse.
Oh.
Horse.
Oh, he was in a film about racing?
Was it horse racing? Is that it?
No.
Oh. But there's a horse involved. Polo.
It came out the same time as the Steve McQueen movie, but it dealt with the same subject.
Yeah.
You mean race car drive, like horsepower?
No.
I don't know.
No, we don't know.
Give up?
Yeah.
It was Rodeo. It was J.W. Coop.
Oh, Rodeo. Geez. Okay.
There's a horse in there. Right. Yeah.
Do you remember when, what was that other movie? I forget. Steve McQueen did a Rodeo movie at the same time.
He did a movie called Junior Bonner.
Yeah.
Yeah, Junior Bonner, that's it.
Right. All right, thanks, Gary.
Okay, yeah. Laurie, I got your the last...
Who is it?
Alphabetically, Yankees.
It is the Yankees.
Has to be the
Yankees. All right, so the Angels and the Yankees anchor the lineup. Now we're looking for two in a row from states, from the same state.
From the same state.
Yeah, very good.
And there are two of them. Two sets.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but just to clarify, Debbie was whispering something in my ear. You have to say Athletics and not the A's.
So well, I
said Athletics.
If you said the A's, that would be right, but you said the A's would go with the Angels, and that would be a third one, actually.
Oh, third
so,
one.
And they're usually both, okay? I think that's very good.
Okay.
The Angels, okay. So there's still two more, though.
All right.
Very good.
Who was the first Best Supporting Actress to be on a regular television series at the time of her win for that?
Supporting Actress? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So she wins for Supporting Actress.
But she's a regular on a television show.
Yeah. That's good.
Is she a star on the show?
Yeah.
She's the lead on the show?
She's a...
Eileen Heckert, didn't she do that?
No, she was on TV, but no. Not Eileen Heckert.
She won for Best Supporting Actress.
Right. Who was the first Best Supporting Actress to be a regular on a television series at the time of her winning the Oscar?
Was it a sitcom or a variety show?
Oh, how about Cloris Leachman?
No.
Because she won and she was on the Mary Tyler Moore show.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, that is a good guess, but that wasn't the first anyway. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so that's...
I'm not sure.
I'd have to look that. I'd like to look to make sure that all that would all work.
But it's is it before kind of before the Mary Tyler Moore show?
It is before the Mary Tyler Moore show. Yeah.
All right.
How about Mary Tyler Moore? She won for Ordinary People.
She didn't win for Ordinary People.
But how about Lily Tomlin?
No.
Okay.
She never won either.
Okay.
All right.
Was it a comedy show that was the series?
I'm not going to say.
Okay.
All right. It was a very well-known series, hit series.
It's a good question.
What was the only time that seven people shared the same nomination for Best Featured Actress in a Musical, and why? What was the only time that seven people shared the same nomination That doesn't mean seven people were nominated. It means seven people shared one nomination for Best Supporting Actress in a Musical. And
how could that be?
I don't know, but it's true, according to the Tony Awards.
Well, they only have five nominees, don't they?
Yeah, they had four other nominees, and this one nomination for Best Supporting Actor, Featured Actress in a Musical, contained seven different names.
So was it that the role was simultaneously played by seven different people, kind of like those movies where they play them at different parts of their life?
No.
Nothing like that?
Nothing like that.
And they weren't understudies for each other?
No.
Read that again so I
okay.
understand.
Okay. Sounds suspicious,
it,
yeah. doesn't
what
it?
What is the only time, and I'll say it happened in the 60s, what is the only time that seven people shared the same one nomination for Best Featured Actress in a Musical? Why?
So when they read the nominations, they'd read all seven names.
Yes. And remember, these seven names only accounted for one nomination.
And they were people. So this wasn't like Sandy
some
and
kind
Dodge
of real
and,
people.
And Annie.
Right.
Some kind of a gimmick in the plot, right?
Not exactly.
Like
no, exactly. It's pretty
I still
straightforward.
Don't know how they could do that because they only gave five nominations.
There were five nominations for Best Featured Actress in a Musical.
This accounted for just one of them,
and this accounted for just one of those.
So there were four other before, right? Am I getting that right?
Right.
I don't get it. Okay. Sorry.
And it wasn't, they weren't a chorus like, the Supremes or something, and all of them.
No, but you're a little closer with that.
And it's not the cast of, Hair or something along those lines.
You're a little closer.
Yeah, right.
Not a chorus line. They didn't win any.
That
didn't
no,
but that'd be. They don't give multiple castings, but it's that's closer.
So once more, this is from the 60s. What was the only time that seven people shared the same one nomination for Best Featured Actress in a Musical, and why? And who was the only, or who was the first Best Supporting Actress to be a regular on a television series at the time of her winning the Oscar? And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Yes,
Chair. How about Donna Reed?
No.
Did she win for supporting actress?
She did, Henry but her show started a few years after she won.
Getting close. All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I was going to answer the nun question, but I didn't hear all the answers because I was dialing and things. So I know Deborah Kerr was in Black Narcissus.
Was she a nun?
That's not a nun.
She was a nun in Black Narcissus.
No, not a nun.
Okay, and Susan Sarandon was Dead Man Walking.
Right. Yeah, someone got that.
Oh, somebody got that. Okay, so what's left?
What's left? I thought I figured that.
You have Eric Idle, Meg Tilly, Shirley MacLaine, Loretta Young, Deborah Kerr, and...
That's it.
That's it? Okay.
We got Susan Sarandon, Mary Tyler Moore, and Rosalind Russell.
Okay. Right. Oh, gosh. My senior brain just went blank. So I'm sorry.
It's a good brain.
I knew, but...
Well, call us back. You guys fine.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. This is Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. So Meg Tilly was in Agnes of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're going to get around, Dana, to re-asking your questions from last week about the states with the... And the.
I'll ask it right now. All right, so you're on the line because you're obviously
is
interested.
Is this a plant? You had him call in?
Well, last week I gave four... I had a list of the top tourist attractions in each state.
That's right.
And I gave four... four parks. They're all parks, basically. And I wanted you to identify the state they were in. These happen to be the top tourist attractions in each of these states. So number one is Hot Springs National Park. Actually, I think somebody got that because that was Arkansas. Somebody did get
Jerry
that.
Jerry got that.
Jerry got that. Okay. The others were Devil's Lake State Park, Theodore Roosevelt National Park, and the Land Between the Lakes.
Well, Theodore Roosevelt National Park is North Dakota.
Yes, that is North Dakota. Very good.
Wow.
So that's the only one I have.
Oh, all right. You made me go through all that, and you only had one? That's all right.
It was worth it.
So I do have a question.
Okay.
The president of the Pennsylvania Railroad, who over 100 years ago envisioned and oversaw the building of Penn Station in Manhattan, the beautiful place that was torn down, he was the older brother of a very famous painter. Do you know who that was?
Oh. What was his name?
That's what he's asking.
Oh. No, I mean the name of the... Oh, the... Oh, yeah.
Well, that would give it away.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, of course.
is this...
Was it Thomas Eakin's brother?
No.
Is it Sargent's brother?
No.
I saw the documentary, too. I should know this.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Yeah, it was great.
What style of painting was it?
Well, you're talking about, the very end of the 19th century.
Right. So Impressionism at all?
In American painting? I don't think so.
Well,
were these the great realists? Was he one of those?
No, if you're on the right track with Impressionism.
Oh, okay.
Whistler's brother.
Yeah. Whistler or Mary Cassatt.
You got it.
Oh, is it Mary Cassatt?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Oh. That's interesting.
Alexander Cassatt. Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Rudul in the Carnero.
Hi.
I got an Oscar question.
Okay.
What actress was nominated consecutively, the most times consecutively for Best Actress?
Ooh.
How many times is it?
Five.
Wow. So it's not Meryl Streep?
No. Actually, there are two.
Is it Greer Garson?
Greer Garson is one.
All right.
Katharine Hepburn?
No.
I know she was 39, 40, 41, 42, 43.
Betty Davis?
Betty Davis.
Betty Davis.
Nice work.
Switching gears, I have one other movie question. Mm-hmm. There was a movie called Unfinished Life that starred Robert Redford, and I wonder if you can tell me what was unique about the pickup truck that he drove.
Is that the one where the Jennifer Lopez was into?
Yes.
I saw like half of that.
There's something about the pickup truck?
Yeah, it's a unique pickup truck.
In the movie or in real life? Or both?
No, it's the actual pickup truck. What there's something unique about the truck itself.
It was...
It's just a standard pickup truck, but...
Right. It was just like some beat-up old, like, Chevy truck or red. I think it was red.
Right, but... And Chevy wasn't it. That's what I'm trying to get at. Is what make was it?
Oh, what make was it?
Mercedes.
No.
Close.
Oh,
really?
That's a wild guess.
So it's a foreign make, then?
No, it just was close because of...
It's a fancy car.
Because it started with M.
Oh.
M.
M cars.
M. It's M.
It's either a Mercury or a Maserati.
You got it. Mercury.
Oh, Mercury, all right.
Yeah. That's all I got tonight.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We do enjoy bringing it to you. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Well, this is not an Oscar question.
All right.
Okay. We can handle that.
The show is turning into an Oscar show. I thought this was a hard question until the guy called in at the top of the show with the question about what president commissioned which ships. And then, so, okay, this is pretty easy compared to that. Two of the answers are easy, two are a little difficult. This is for hardcore musical theater freaks.
All right.
I'll give you four major songs that we all know from musicals, and you tell me which musical they were from. All were flop shows.
All flops.
But some are well known, even so. Okay, there's four, I think.
Mm-hmm.
As Time Goes By, All the Things You Are, Come Rain or Come Shine, and in the same vein, Here's That Rainy Day. Okay, As Time Goes By, All the Things You Are, Come Rain or Come Shine, and Here's That Rainy Day.
So these are from four different shows that were flops.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But some of the titles are, I'd say three of the titles are somewhat known, at least to musicals. Musical heads.
As Time Goes By came from a 1931 show, or maybe it was 1932, called Everybody's Welcome.
Yeah, I knew you would know
and
that.
And Francis Williams sang the song.
I knew you would know that,
that's good. Yourself,
I didn't know that came from a musical.
I didn't either.
And All the Things You Are came from a show called Very Warm for May, which was Jerome Kern's last Broadway show.
Kern and Hammerstein, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so
which was made, which they used the plot of it for a movie called Broadway Rhythm 4 years
later. That's how you know it.
No,
Who wouldn't?
So you got
those are the two hard ones left.
Everybody's Welcome was the hardest, I think. Okay, Come Rain or Come Shine comes from a well-known movie. And Here's That Rainy Day comes from a less well-known movie.
They're from plays, not movies, right? Did you say?
Musicals. Broadway musicals. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Is Come Rain or Come Shine from St. Louis Woman?
Yes. God, three out of four. Very good,
Very
dude.
Nice.
That's Arlen. Yeah.
Okay, this is the hardest one is Here's That Rainy Day. The show is less well known than all the others.
All right.
Well, Everyone's Welcome is not known. But.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any of the other shows. So you take the last one if you know that.
You've heard of St. Louis Woman.
Kind of. Yeah. I've heard
maybe
all the
heard
songs.
The song,
I know all the songs.
It's like 47, maybe 48.
Yeah, Harold Arlen and Hip Harper.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hello. Is that me?
It is you.
Yes, hi. Has the baseball question been answered?
No.
Not yet.
Not to Laurie's satisfaction.
Yes. Not even close.
What do you have?
Okay, well, I think, so the A to Z, I think the A, well, the A is the Angels. I think the last one is the Yankees.
It is, and Jerry got that. Do you have the other one, too, which states are in order as well?
Yes, I think it's California, the Angels and the Athletics.
That's one of them.
Very good.
And I think the other one is Pennsylvania with the Pirates and the Phillies.
Excellent. That is. The Phillies and the Pirates are both in Pennsylvania. Since the A's were technically the Athletics, there is one more left out there that you might know or the audience might know.
Especially for a Brit.
Yeah. I like the accent with it. Very good.
Aussie, maybe. Okay.
Did I get part of it wrong?
No, you got it all right.
And just for the audience, and maybe you, there's one more out there in which the consecutive names of the team names.
Right off the top of my head. Sorry, I thought there was only two. All right. Okay. No, I don't know that, so somebody else can get that.
Okay.
You did extremely well.
Yes, you knocked them all out of the park.
Yes. I can throw out a trivia question. I was waiting, so I thought I'd
go ahead, please.
Bring up a trivia question. Okay. What is significant to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones about the albums Aftermath and by the Stones and A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles?
What's significant? You want to give us something more than that?
Well, both albums marked a kind of watershed for the respective bands because of those particular albums in the progression of their careers as bands.
Were they the first ones in which they wrote all the songs themselves?
Yes, that's correct. It's even more specific than that. But it is about songwriting.
Something more specific than that about songwriting.
About authorship, if you like, of the songs.
Well, they all were written by the two people, Lennon McCartney and Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, but it's not right?
No, that is correct. That is correct.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
There are some Beatles albums that have you know, Harrison compositions, but I think... A Hard Day's Night was all Lennon McCartney, and I think Aftermath was all Jagger and Richards.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. Well, I have this one. It came up in a weird way. I heard this week that they're producing a beer based on Star Trek called Klingon Warnog, and it reminded me that I have this question about fictional foods. I'm going to list you five fictional foods. Tell me their origin. Okay. One, the first one is Lembas, L-E-M-B-A-S. The second one is Pan-Galactic Garble Blasters. The third one is Amoloko Plus. The fourth is Tomacco, T-O-M-A-C-C-O. And my favorite is the last one, Funestrata. So what is the source of these fictional foods? Lembas, Pan-Galactic Garble Blasters, Moloko Plus, Tomacco, and Funestrata.
Is the Pan-Galactic Garble Blasters, is that from the comic strip?
No.
All right.
But it's from a humorous work.
Okay.
Sounds like Lewis Carroll.
It's not, but it does sound a little bit like him. There's something about the galactic that, that will lead.
Maybe.
It's not like Futurama or something
like Futurama.
That.
Not Futurama. Kind of
Edward
realm.
Lear?
Not Edward Lear. More Edward contemporary than either of those.
Tomako, I think I've asked that. I have to think about that.
I think Tomako is the best known. I know a listener will know it.
All right.
Okay, so we're looking for Lembas, Pan-Galactic Garble Blasters, Moloko Plus, Tomako, and Funestrata.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So I have a couple of guesses and a question. First of all, from last week, is Devil's Lake Park in North Dakota?
It shouldn't be, since that's where Theodore Roosevelt was.
Which one did you say again?
Devil's Lake Park, North Dakota.
No, Devil's Lake Park is not in North Dakota. You're thinking of Devil's Tower.
No. I'm thinking of there's a city called Devil's Lake in North Dakota.
Okay. But anyway, this particular one, Devil's Lake, is not in North Dakota.
All right. And then also, what's wrong with Cloris Leachman being the actress who won the Best Supporting Oscar and then was in a series?
Not then was in a series. She had to be in a series at that time. And she was not the first, though.
Oh, okay.
Who did you say?
Cloris Leachman.
Glenn said Cloris Leachman as well.
Okay.
Because she wasn't Mary Shelley Moore when she was doing the Les Picture Show.
Right, but she was not the first.
So the first one. Okay, all right. And then for Loretta Young, The Nun,
yes.
That's still open?
Yes.
Yeah, Jerry.
Come to the Stable?
Come to the stable.
Very good.
Very good. Excellent.
And then with Shirley MacLaine, that movie with Clint Eastwood, Two Mules for Sister Sarah?
Yes.
Two Mules for Sister Sarah. Very good.
So that was a legitimate sister, huh?
Yeah. No, that was not a legitimate sister.
She wasn't.
I think she played a prostitute who was masquerading
as a nun. Yeah. Well, that's what that counts.
Sister Kenny's out. Sister Sarah's out.
Playing a sister.
Sister Carrie is out too.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. All right, calm down. And then Here's That Rainy Day, right?
Yes.
That was Frank Sinatra made it famous, right?
Here's That Rainy Day. Yeah, Frank Sinatra did record that.
Carnival, yeah, he did. That's
Carnival in Flanders.
Carnival in Flanders.
Very good. How did you know that?
Ooh, that's good.
Well,
nobody knows that show.
Well, I did.
Very good.
There you go, Glenn.
That's a great song.
All right. Yeah, oh, beautiful song. Tomorrow, think about it tomorrow. It's going to rain tomorrow.
And that song has a contemporary reference. Do you know what that is?
Oh, no, I don't.
I mean, a contemporary significance, I should say.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it.
It's being used now in something?
No, it was the last song that Bette Midler sang on the Johnny Carson show.
That's right.
Yeah.
Made him cry.
One of his favorites. Yeah, and he cried.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's, it was such a good.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody watch
that's
that on
great,
YouTube. It's terrific.
Song.
All right.
Who wrote that? Do you know, Dan?
Carnival in Flanders. It's a very well-known composer. I know that.
It's not Vernon Duke.
It's the one I always get confused with, Vernon Duke.
Oh yeah, I know who you mean.
Burton Lane, maybe.
Not Vernon Duke, but
it's somebody write it like a contemporary
kind of a
Burton Lane.
Tier
yeah,
guy,
right,
yeah.
right, right.
Yeah, not Duke, but I'll get it before
right.
it shows up. If you're right, yeah.
All right, I have a literary question here. What is the literary character that Vladimir Nabokov created that is an anagram of his name, and in what two of his novels did this character appear?
Anagram of his last name?
Of his whole name, Vladimir Nabokov.
Oh.
What is the literary character that Vladimir Nabokov created that is an anagram of his name and that appeared in two of his novels?
Wow.
I don't know.
I do not know. That's a great question. So obviously did it on purpose.
It is a female. I will give you that.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
All right. Once more, what is the literary character that Vladimir Nabokov created that is an anagram of his name and that appeared as a character in two of his novels?
Wow.
And what are the novels, if you can get that?
If you get it, you'll get it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Although it was, I don't think this it was a major, major character, probably bigger in one than the other novel, but yeah, appeared in two novels.
Speaking of Vladimir, who is Vladimir Dukhelsky?
That's Vernon Duke's real name.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah.
And you read that article about April in Paris?
Yes.
In the Times?
Have a whole show on Vladimir's. It'd be very good.
That's a great song.
Any more Vladimir questions?
No, not right at the moment.
Nope. How about Putin? We've got a Putin,
or Vladimir,
Putin question.
Yeah. Vladimir the Impaler. We could do that. That's Dracula.
Yeah, okay.
It's good.
And, all right. Oh, actually, we should repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet because we're past halfway through the show. So, Jerry, what do you have?
Well, I'm looking for a few more nuns.
Who isn't?
It won't do you a bit of good, I'm afraid.
Okay, the name of the movie that, in which Eric Idle played a nun, Meg Tilly.
Oh, we got that.
Children of a Lesser God. Somebody got that.
Oh, yeah. And Rosalind Russell.
No, I thought we got The Trouble with Angels.
There's another one.
The Disputed Sister Kin.
There's a
third Rosalind Russell.
There is a third one, yeah.
And you got Loretta Young. Okay.
I think Deborah Carr is still out there, isn't she?
Yes, Deborah Carr is still out there.
Oh, yeah. There were two of those. That's right. Okay. Did you get one? Did somebody get one of the Deborah Carr movies?
I think somebody got Black Narcissus.
Yeah, oh, that's right. They did, yes.
But there's another one. The other one is, I'll give you the other one. The other one is, thank heaven.
For little girls?
No, that's Heaven's in the title.
No,
Heaven Knows Mr.
Heaven
Allison.
Heaven Knows Mr. Allison. That's
yeah,
she's
very good.
Nun. All right. So,
so
she's
got
out.
Them all then, huh?
Well, we still have Eric Idle.
Oh, Eric Idle. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
And
I have in the alphabetical listing of baseball teams, we're listing, if they're all in order, there's two that are adjacent to each other that are from the same state.
But there aren't that many states that have two teams.
There's eight that have two teams.
There are eight.
Yeah, there are eight. Oh. And we got the Angels and the A's, if we did the A's, and we got the Phillies and the Pirates. There's one more. And then we have five fictional foods that people are supposed to identify their source. They are Lembas, Pangalactic Garble Blasters, Malaco Plus, Tamako, and Funestrata.
All right. In in the 60s, in one Tony Awards ceremony, seven people shared the same one nomination for Best Featured Actress
about this.
In a musical play. So seven people once shared the same one nomination for Best Featured Actress in a musical play. Why? And what was the play? And what is the literary character that Vladimir Nabokov created that is an anagram of his name, and in what two of his novels did this character appear? And who was the first Best Supporting Actress to be a regular on a television series at the time of her win? Who was the first winner of the Best Supporting Actress to be on a regular on a television series at the time of her
winning? Probably first and only. Wouldn't it?
No, not the only, because we just had Cloris Leachman, who was actually...
Yeah.
Any hints on that one? Comedy, drama, black and white, color?
Comedy.
Okay. In both the supporting or the TV series or the TV series?
Yeah.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Lembas was from Tolkien. It's the waybread of the elves.
It was in Lord of the Rings. Very good.
No wonder I didn't get it.
Do you have more?
And I believe that Pangalactic Garble Blasters were on offer at the Star Wars bar.
No.
No?
That's not what I have. Oh, they should have been, but they weren't. Yeah, good guess.
The seven nominations, I think, was seven brides for seven brothers?
No. Good guess.
That's a good guess,
but no.
Oh, okay. And a clarification from last week on Brewster Body.
Yes.
From your thought. In the early days of automobile, one bought a chassis and a body separately.
Ooh.
You could buy the chassis and then buy a two-seater or four-seater or flatbed truck or sedan delivery or paddy wagon or whatever you want, but all fit on the same chassis.
Wow.
Interesting.
So the standard two-seater for a Model T would cost you about $350. But if you were really styling it, you'd buy a Sliver with a Brewster body and set you back $950.
Haven't heard the word Sliver in a long time.
Sliver
at the top. Yeah.
And I have a geography question.
Okay.
I am thinking of a body of water that connects an ocean and a sea. On one side of that body of water, they call the body of water the sleeve.
Oh, La Manche. That's the English Channel.
Yes.
La Manche. Is it La Manche?
Very nice.
Or La Manche? That's the only reason is that La Manche or La Manche, my French is awful, is French for a sleeve.
Yes, so, exactly.
Very nice.
Yes. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, okay. Guys.
How about the supporting actress? I think this isn't it, but it's close. How about Shirley Booth in Hazel and Come Back, Little Sheep?
That was much later. She was in Hazel in the 60s, and she won the best actress.
Not
and
supporting.
That wasn't best supporting actress. She won best actress.
Okay.
Very good.
So,
it's
that's
up there
guess.
With Cloris Leachman is a heck of a guess.
I just watched Shirley Booth in the original, in The Matchmaker, which is a very interesting
film. It's a charming
film.
Movie. It's a cute.
Yeah, it's got three people in one of their first movies, Anthony Perkins.
Bobby Morris.
Robert Morris.
Oh,
and Shirley MacLaine. Yeah. I think she made one before that. But
no, Anthony Perkins had made movies before.
Have he?
Yeah.
Okay. And Paul Ford and Shirley Booth.
Right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
cute.
Great cast.
Yeah. Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me now?
It is you now.
Holy cow. Well, I got a lot of answers, but I'm going to start with a question.
Okay.
It's a local San Francisco geography question.
Go.
Alphabetical streets. Reading backwards, you fill in the blank.
Well,
Moraga, Lawton, Curtin, Kirkham, Judah, Irving, blank.
What do you
oh,
want
this
us
is kind
do?
Of your area, Jerry. So
what do you want us to do?
Tell
okay,
Jerry
now,
what you want us to do again.
Now my answers. No, you get that later. My answers. Shirley Jones was the Partridge Family, and was she Music Man?
No, she was not.
Elmer Gantry.
She did win, of course, but she was not on a TV series at the time. So this person had to be on a TV series at the same time.
Baseball teams, the Astros is the missing one. Where the
No, because the Astros are with the Rangers. They're in the state of Texas, and they're not next to each other in the alphabet.
No, I know, but it was like the Astros are closer than the Athletics if you take away the posture.
That's true.
Right.
But the Angels are before both of them. That's the one Jerry got.
Okay, and then the Von Trapp family, did they figure into the seven nominees?
You're right, they did.
Oh,
yes.
What?
Yes.
What were
Wait,
they nominated
how does that
for?
Work now?
There's joy
yeah,
in the
you. I'm going to give you a cold credit for that. In 1960, the seven children that played the seven young actors and actresses who played the Von Trapp children were all shared the one nomination.
Really?
Yes.
How weird.
For a best supporting actress in a musical. And so they even lumped boys and girls together in this.
In what category was
Who
it?
Who won?
Best supporting actress featured actress in a musical.
They didn't win.
They did not win.
Baseball.
Who won?
What's that?
Regarding baseball, are the Brewers and the Cubs, does that count as being in the same state and being really close together alphabetically?
They're not in the same state.
They're not in the same state.
What are you talking about?
Wisconsin and Illinois. There? One's in Milwaukee, one's in Wisconsin, one's in Illinois, but so they don't count.
Well, that's darn close.
It is close.
Do you remember what my last one was? I had one more.
Okay.
What was my answer? I asked you a question.
You have to go over the streets once
Jerry,
more for
you
us.
Should get this once you figure
okay,
it out.
We're out in the sunset.
You're in the sunset.
Yeah.
What is that, like Noriega, Moraga, Lawton, backwards. Kirkham, Judah, Irving.
What's the street that begins with G before Irving when you do
oh,
in the
Judah.
Sunset?
No, that's
G.
J. So what's if you're going
go
backwards
the
in
way.
The alphabet,
oh.
What's the next, what's the street?
After what?
Irving. After, so you had Judah, Irving.
Judah,
Kirkham.
Irving.
Kirkham.
You want
no.
a G street.
You want
G,
it has to start with a G.
Oh, G.
it's not,
Guerrera.
No.
No, that's in the mission.
Guerrera. That's,
Kirkham.
No.
Judah.
Irving. So it's going Judah. To the beginning of the alphabet.
No, it's H.
H. It's H.
H.
Sorry.
So it's not
sorry.
G, it's H.
It's H.
All right.
Hugo.
H.
Hugo?
No, there is no Hugo. No.
No. And there probably is a Hugo 3.
Hugo.
It is Hugo?
It is Hugo?
By keys are. It's only 5 blocks long.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Well, we didn't do better with that.
Having going for a G name was my downfall in that one.
Yeah.
But thank you. All right. Is it my turn? I think it's my turn. Okay. All right. Who was the... I just learned this today. Who was the only Oscar winner for Best Actor who played John Wilkes Booth? Oh. And it was in a made-for-TV movie, but...
That he played Booth.
That he played Booth,
but then he won the actor for something else, obviously.
And this person is a multi-Academy Award-winning actor, by the way. Who is the only multi-award-winning actor who played John Wilkes Booth?
How long ago was that a TV movie? More than a decade, at least.
More than a decade, yeah.
More than a decade ago?
Yes.
What decade?
Was it from the early, age of TV?
Yeah, it's more closing in toward the golden age of TV.
John Carradine?
No, he never won an Academy Award.
Okay.
Paul Newman?
No. That's a good guess, because he looks a little
bit... No, he wouldn't have played John Wilkes.
Well, early days, they would have played anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
I'm thinking
too good looking.
Early,
no,
well,
too,
he was good looking.
Well, John Wilkes Booth was,
a handsome actor.
A handsome fellow. Who was the only multi-Academy Award-winning actor to ever play John Wilkes Booth?
Multi-award?
Yeah. More than one. That's what it means.
Thank you. Thank you.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ed.
Hi, Ed.
So I just like to mention that all of this, so many earthquakes, almost 100 in Los Angeles, should be reminded for everybody to really get prepared, because Hayward Fault is horrible and very dangerous.
Stop trying to scare us, will you?
I'm not really, but it will happen, you know. At least you have time to buy a flashlight or to... Or some water or some food, you know, whatever.
We're gonna eat Jerry first, we decided.
Not me.
No. Okay, so I have two questions.
It's a bad choice.
All right, there's only 3 countries worldwide that do not use the metric system. In other words, they don't use the kilogram or the meter. They use
hand. United States.
United States is number one, the biggest one. What is the other two?
Micronesia.
You're right, very small one. I will tell you, because time is short, yes. And I'd like people to get. Right. Okay. One is Myanmar, and the other one is Liberia.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. It's time for us to change. Okay, second question. Surname, 3 countries. Ireland, what is the most common surname or last name in Ireland?
O'Brien.
No. There's one more.
Like Cohan?
No.
There is a law named after it.
There was a what?
Law
Murphy.
Murphy.
Good. Okay, Germany.
Germany. Oh, that's a good question. Berger.
No.
Schmidt.
We have a physicist at Cal who has the last name, the same last name.
Who?
A professor at Cal.
Oh, who?
Schweik.
No.
No.
Physics professor at Cal. Physics for future.
The physics Nobel winner.
No.
Muller.
Muller. All right.
Okay, the last one is Italy. There's a drink named after it.
Yeah, it's a Martin.
Martini. Martini.
Martin Cecilius France.
Oh.
Martini, no.
No, there's a drink, a green drink.
Absinthe.
Grenadine, no.
A
green drink.
Something on the rocks, the ad usually say.
Campari.
No, we don't know.
Okay, Rossi.
Oh, Rossi, okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Eve.
Have a good day. Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Andy in Oakland.
Hi, Andy.
So I have some of the fictional foods here.
Good.
What you got?
Okay, so Moloco Plus is from Clockwork Orange.
It is. It's a milk cocktail. Very good.
Pangalactic Garble Blasters, I think, is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Excellent.
And then Tamako is The Simpsons.
Yeah. Can you say more about it? What is it?
It's what's Tamako?
Yeah.
Oh, it's when Homer plants like a whole bunch of different crops, and the only thing that takes are these tobacco-filled tomatoes.
Yeah, that's right.
Dough. The whole town gets addicted to them.
Very nice.
Good.
Right. That's it, yeah. Oh, also, we had the Rosalind Russell movie, like, many minutes before you guys said it.
I'll give him a bell.
All right.
And which one did you get?
What's that?
Don't say Sister Kenny, because that
doesn't
count.
Well, it was my mom who got it. The Trouble with Angels.
Oh, yeah, good, okay.
And then the other one was Heaven Knows.
Okay, still looking for the Eric Idle movie.
Way to go, right. Mom.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you for that. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
I just got scooped with the fictional foods that I knew.
I'm sorry.
You don't have Funestrata, huh?
No, I don't have that one.
Yeah, okay.
I have Limbus, Pan Galactic, and Maloca Plus. Mm. Anyone who was a nerd in the 80s knows those three. So I salute my brother, nerd.
Way to go, brother.
So I made up a question while waiting about fictional foods. Mm-hmm. I'm going to name three fictional foods that all come from the same pop culture source.
Ooh.
If you can tell me what it is. First one, and I'll go from most to least obscure. First one is a unique pig, a Hamus alabamus. There's only one left.
Oh, that's Little Abner.
Oh, man, I don't even get the other two. It is Little Abner.
Yeah.
Well, the Shmoo, is that one?
A liqueur named after an Indian tribe.
Say it again?
A liqueur named after an Indian tribe.
Yeah,
let's turn this into a question. I'll reverse the question so we can do
something.
The
joy juice.
Kickapoo joy juice.
Kickapoo joy juice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the last one, probably the most familiar, is a lovable creature.
The Shmoo.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The Shmoo jumped into the
front.
That's
pretty good, making that up while on hold.
Yeah.
Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Chris in Pacifica.
Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Has anybody answered the Eric Idle Nuns movie?
No.
It's Nuns on the Run.
Very good.
Oh, very good.
Good job.
Nuns on the Run. Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'm still wrestling with this baseball one.
Good.
God.
By the way,
there are eight states with two teams?
Yeah, there are.
Amazing.
Like New York is one of them, but the Mets and the Yankees aren't.
Well, the obvious ones, the big ones. Yeah.
Well, this one, I'll give you a hint since we're getting late. It's right in front of us, believe it or not, and it will surprise you that they're alphabetically near each other. That'll be the surprise.
That's a pretty good hint.
Yeah.
Okay.
And next call.
Very well-known teams. Very well-known.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy, is that me?
It is you.
I'm going to try for your, you had tourist attractions, something like Land Between the Lakes?
Right. The two we have left, let me just read them for you, are... Devil's Lake State Park and Land Between the Lakes, and those are the top tourist attractions in their respective states.
All right, Land Between the Lakes. I'll try Tennessee.
Oh, you're very close.
Oh, and then it has to be just south of that.
Yes. So, what state is just south of that?
I'd say Alabama or Mississippi.
No. I mean just north of that.
No, Tennessee.
There you go,
Kentucky.
There you go.
And for the baseball,
yes,
I'll try Florida.
Well, Florida has two teams, the Marlins and the Rays, so they aren't very close in the alphabet.
Oh,
good guess,
right.
Though. We're knocking off the states.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
All righty. Well, thanks. Great show.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You bet.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
It is you.
Hi, somebody just beat me to Eric Idle.
Well, we'll give you credit anyway.
You know who his co-star was in that movie?
Nuns on the Run?
Ooh.
The other nun.
Is it Robbie Coltrane?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Very nice.
All right.
Yeah.
And the Pan Galactic Gargle Blaster comes from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Somebody got it, but that's true.
That's
very
true.
Good.
They fought Beeblebrox's favorite drink.
Wow.
And I'm going nuts trying to come up with the eight states for the baseball teams, never mind the
People have gotten Pennsylvania, Illinois, Texas, New York, and Florida, and there's three still out there.
Oh, I didn't have New York.
Yeah, somebody had mentioned it. So the Met,
California but, and Illinois.
Yeah, well, California.
Six.
Okay, I can tell you one. I'm looking at the time. One is Ohio. It has the Indians and the Reds, and those aren't the answer either, because they're very far.
Close,
yeah. And one is, I'll keep it out there. We got five more minutes, but somebody will call in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Ellen in San Francisco.
Hi, Ellen.
I think that
Devil's Lake is in Wisconsin.
It is in Wisconsin. Very good.
Hooray. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen.
Biggest tourist site.
That is the biggest tourist site in Wisconsin. Yes.
Madison.
It might be near the Dells for all I know.
Might be in the Dells. Maybe that's it.
Could be.
Okay. Good guess. I mean, good answer.
Good answer. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Oh, great. This is Lowell from Kensington. Vivian Darkbloom was Claire Quilty's occasional co-writer in Lolita and perhaps reappeared in, I'm guessing at this, Transparent Things, but I'm sure about Lolita.
What's the name
of
the character?
Well, first of all, you got the name absolutely right, Vivian Darkbloom.
Cool.
Yep.
And she does indeed appear in Lolita. And do you know the other novel by any chance?
I'm guessing Transparent Things, but that's a guess.
It is not. It is Ada.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, thank
you.
Appreciate that. Yes. Vivian Darkbloom is the... Thank you very much. Vivian Darkbloom is the character that Vladimir Nabokov created that is an anagram of his own name.
Very cool.
And appeared in Lolita and Ada. And next call.
Hello, is that me again?
It is you, yes.
Hello. It's the Baseball Brit calling again.
The Baseball Brit, welcome. Yeah. Welcome back.
So not that many of you.
I think, have you tricked us? Is it California again with the Dodgers and the Giants?
It is. Really well done. The Dodgers and the Giants in California and alphabetically. Oh,
that's
the Brit,
close,
the Baseball Brit is great. You knocked them all out.
Very good.
Very good.
Jolly good.
Yeah. And the last state that no one got is Missouri, which has the Cardinals and the Royals, also not close enough.
I had Cardinals. I couldn't think of the other
the
team,
Royals
though.
It, but okay. Very good. Oh. The Brit baseball guy is great.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try again with something else next time. How's
Please
that?
Do.
Okay,
yeah, call in with
so
a
much.
Cricket question.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we need a British voice on the show.
We do. We do.
Bring a little culture.
Maybe I'll try one.
Yeah. And, all right, one more
Cheerio.
Call.
Cheerio.
Upgrade the show.
Yeah. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Oops.
We have another call? Hi. You're on Minds Ever Matter. Anybody there? No?
The rest is, silence.
That it?
Oops.
Hi.
You're on. Go ahead, please.
Are there any nuns left?
No, there are not.
There are not any nuns left.
No. Okay. How about the actress in the series, the first actress in the series?
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
Is it Angela Lansbury?
It is not Angela Lansbury.
No.
Good guess, though. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, let's clean up here. Laura, you go ahead. That's fine.
All right. Well, Funestrada has a great little story. It's a fictional food invented by the United States Army, which they put in a survey when they were surveying soldiers about what foods they like. And even though it's non-existent, it scored ahead of eggplant, lima beans, and cranberry juice.
I would have voted exactly the same way.
Me too. But the fictional food's better than that. Yeah.
All right. We got Vivian Darkbloom, the first the best supporting actress to win while being a regular on the TV series is Goldie Hawn. Goldie Hawn was a regular on Laugh-In.
Oh, and she won
for Cactus Flower. Yes. The actor who the multi-Academy Award-winning actor who played John Wilkes Booth, that was Jack Lemmon.
Wow,
Jack Lemmon,
really?
And the day Lincoln was shot, and he actually played that on TV the year after he won for Mr. Roberts.
Wow.
So, yes. Is that it? I think that is it. Oh, yes. Did we get all the... Oh, Devil's Lake State. Oh, we got Devil's Lake. Okay, that's it. And if we didn't get your call, well, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, Laurie Fisher. Thank you very much, Laurie.
Great.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our great thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.